very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we'll certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland up the elevation.
My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
I'm Audrin Johnson, and welcome to this week's Sports Beat Extra. Coming up on today's show, Aoife chats with Off the Ball's Will O'Callaghan ahead of Offaly's clash with Tip in the under-20 hurling All-Ireland final. I'll be chatting with members of the Manchester United Carlow Supporters Club ahead of their 50th anniversary to discuss the Red Devils' FA Cup victory over rivals Manchester City. But first, I sat down with Kilkenny hurling legend Richie Hogan to discuss all things minor and Kilkenny hurling.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
I am delighted to be joined now by former Kilkenny hurler Richie Hogan at the launch of this year's Electric Ireland GAA Minor Championships. This summer, Electric Ireland will use their social channels to spotlight players from across the championships in recognition of the major impact that playing minor can have on young people's future successes on and off the field. You can follow the campaign on social media at Electric Ireland and via the hashtag ThisIsMajor. First question I can have for you, obviously it's been a while since you played minor hurling, no offence to yourself, back in 2004 is when you started. How do you think the sort of scene there has adapted and changed since then?
Oh, well, the reality is that the minor championships have changed hugely since I was playing as a 15-year-old. The players now obviously are much younger. Obviously it's under 17, and previously when I was playing it was under 18, but in terms of their experience it's changed completely as well. So when I played let's say my last year of as a minor player, I had already played 3 seasons adult hurling with my club. I had also played under 21 with Kilkenny, whereas the guys coming out now, I mean, a lot of them are doing their junior cert or in transition year, and they're not allowed to play adult hurling until they get over 17. So it's much better in terms of a system, because clubs and counties are not pulling from the same players, and underage players are not getting overused, if you like. But it's an incredible championship. It's the structure of it is much better. Kilkenny, who won the Leinster Championship last weekend, have had a lot of games in Leinster. When I was playing, it was full knockout. So in 2005, we were beaten by Dublin in the first round. It was the only game that we had. So I think they found the balance between competition, healthy competition, and between player development. And I think that's really, really important for county boards and for hurling in general, to be able to develop players like this.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned kind of earlier on there as well about the shift from under 18 to under 17. Do you think that that's provided maybe a greater reflection of a county's ability going into the future? Or do you think obviously you mentioned the pulling from different clubs and all that. How do you think that the change has impacted sort of the minor hurling scene going forward, and obviously the underage ones as well?
Well, I don't know from a county perspective as such, but definitely from a club perspective, the fact that the under 17s as minors can play in their own championship and can also play as under 20s, but the fact that they're not being pulled to play on adult teams, it makes it much easier from a fixtures point of view, and it makes it much easier from a player development and from a burnout point of view. Also, the structure of it is far better, in the sense that there's more of a focus on player development, which is what you need at that age. And it's a different proposition now, the minor championships. It's not this win at all costs type of championship that it used to be. And it should never have been that in the first place. It just developed as such. I think it's very, very positive. I think it'll be good for the development of teams, and it'll be good for the development of hurling in general.
Yeah, and obviously the Leinster Minor final last weekend, Kilkenny obviously came out up top. Obviously, you're probably delighted about that. What do you think that kind of says for the future of Kilkenny hurling, and that is from that game particularly?
Oh yeah, it's great. I was watching the game. My brother is a coach on the Kilkenny Minor team, and the Kilkenny Minor manager Niall Bergen is also the club manager for my club Dainsforth. So we'd all have a keen eye on how they're progressing. It's been a mad championship for them so far. They're Leinster champions. They were beaten twice in Leinster, I think, by Dublin and by Wexford in the group stages, and they beat Offaly, or sorry, they beat Galway twice and managed to win the Leinster final at the weekend, which was brilliant. Leinster's particularly strong this year. Of the six teams that are left, four of them are from Leinster. It's great. There's some brilliant young players. Adrian Mullen's little brother, Jake Mullen, was fantastic at the weekend. And that's the focus for us. If they win it, brilliant. But if we can produce four or five really strong inter-county players from that team in 4 or 5 years' time, that will be a huge boost to Kilkenny hurling.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I want to talk a little bit about your career as well, because obviously you're a legend in Kilkenny. Everyone knows your name. Everyone knows your story. But I kind of want to ask, is there a particular memory from your time in Kilkenny, either minor or senior, that kind of sticks out to you as being sort of the highlight of your career?
Oh, well, like my first year as a Kilkenny minor in 2004 was incredibly special. It was my first real chance at being exposed to, let's say, a high performance team of sorts. Nothing compared to the high performance teams now, but it was just a brilliant team to be involved in. We were a kind of a team of underdogs, which is unusual within Kilkenny, but we got all the way to the All-Ireland final. We were heartbreakingly beaten in a replay by a point, but I think those for the season that I had that year really instilled me with a huge amount of confidence and a huge amount of love for the game, that, you know, this is what I really wanted to do, not just the following year, but for 10 or 20 years after that. So it was an incredible start to my inter-county career, and I'll absolutely never forget it.
Yeah. And sort of following on from that, I'm very interested to know if there's any sort of smaller moments throughout your career, maybe that didn't make the spotlight, but were kind of, you look back on as being instrumental for your career going on from then, whether it's a conversation with another player or encouragement from a coach or whatnot.
Not really. In Kilkenny, we were never ones for big any given Sunday type speeches. We were very much, without saying this, we were very much kind of process driven, and it was very much, you were part of a conveyor belt and you were contributing to that and trying to drive Kilkenny hurling in general forward. But definitely as a young player coming into the inter-county scene from minor straight into senior in 2007, some players such as Eddie Brennan and Henry Shefflin and Martin Comfort and others, they were incredibly, I wouldn't say kind, but incredibly helpful to my progress in terms of showing me what it took, you know, to get to the very top. And being exposed to that type of leadership on a day-to-day basis was incredible for me. And I absolutely wouldn't have had the career that I've had or became the player that I was without those brilliant leaders that were present in the dressing room as I was starting.
And do you think, actually, just again on that, with the sort of, you talk about the process mentality of contributing to the county going forward, do you think that that's something that still resonates very much with the Kilkenny side today?
Absolutely. You know, all of the values that we I suppose lived by, if you like, and played by when I came in first, they're all present today. A relentless ability to work hard for the team, incredible humility amongst all players, brilliant attitude, and a never, never, never say die attitude as well. And they're all of the things that were very prevalent in all of the Kilkenny teams that I played in. And they still exist today. And it took a while for that culture to build up. And we should never let it go, because it means that it's an incredibly special county to be part of. Doesn't mean we're going to win every day, but it means that we always go out with a chance and we always do ourselves justice.
I want to just finally wrap things up with just a question about the under-20 hurling final between Offaly and Tip. Obviously, it's been played at Nolan Park. What's your sort of thought process behind who'll come out on top there? I know you can't really make predictions on games like these, but what would be your sort of inkling going into it?
I don't know who is going to win, but I really hope that Offaly do win, not just for those guys. Obviously, they've been incredible. They've been an incredible story at minor level a couple of years ago, and now at under 20, and the crowds that Offaly bring to games and the excitement within the county that is created. They were incredibly hard done by a couple of years ago in a minor final with a last second goal to deny them of their first minor championship in years by the same team, Tipperary. So I hope that Offaly come out on top this time. There's some fantastic young players there, and it would be great for hurling in general and for Leinster hurling if they could beat our very friendly neighbours, Tipperary.
Absolutely. Well, Richie, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, Adrian. Sports Beat Extra.
I think it's been a while since there's been such hype about an underage All-Ireland final. Tip are set to do battle with near neighbours Offaly this evening in a sellout All-Ireland under 20 final in Nolan Park. Looking ahead to the game is OTB presenter, host of The Hurling Pod, and Offaly mega fan, am I allowed to say that, Will O'Callaghan. Will, how close do you think this encounter will be between the two sides?
What an instruction, Aoife. I'm not sure I can challenge anything that you've just said. What's it going to be like tonight? It's going to be an incredible occasion. As you've already set up there, 26,000 people are going to pack into Nolan Park tonight for this final. I've never really known anything like it. 22,000 or so went when these teams met in a minor final in 2022, where Tipperary won a very dramatic decider, where Offaly had been in front for 50-odd minutes of the game, but Paddy McCormack flicked the ball into the net for a Tipperary victory that day. It kind of feels right that the two teams meet on the same occasion in the same venue 2 years on, where a lot of these players are still going to be underage next year, which it's easy to forget the fact that you've got that 3 year cycle between under 17 and under 20. I believe 11 of the Tipperary likely starting 15 from tonight are going to still be underage next season, and Offaly have got around about 9. Many of those Offaly players got experience in an under 20 All-Ireland final where they lost out against Cork at Semple Stadium. But the story has been really all week the scramble to try and get tickets ahead of the game itself, and particularly in Offaly, where there's been a crazy interest in this team, which far outstrips that of the seniors. The senior tickets for the Joe McDonagh Cup final against Laois at Croke Park the week afterwards, no problem for any one of the 80-odd thousand people that live in Offaly getting a ticket to go and see that. But the reality is that maybe 1 in 4 of every man, woman and child from Offaly will be in Nolan Park tomorrow evening. The lights are being turned off in the county. Everyone's going to have to work their way through Laois and make their way through Ballyragget and get into Nolan Park in plenty of time ahead of a 7:15 throw-in, because the scramble for tickets has been completely and utterly unprecedented, as the county board have said. There's been massive support for this Offaly team, including 15,000 going along to watch the game in the Leinster final against Dublin a couple of weeks ago, last Wednesday week. And yet the crowds go up and up with the possibility of some success, and some very rare success against Tipperary in particular, because the mammies and daddies who will be bringing their kids along will probably remember losing out to Tipperary in an All-Ireland under-21 final back in 1989. The more recent memory is the disappointment of losing that minor final in 22. And I'm sure Tipperary's motivation all week, Aoife, has been, we're here to spoil this bandwagon and this story. Offaly Mail have been on the national news all week, and all this talk about ticketing. The reality is, for Brendan Cummins and his side, they need to go out and put out a performance tonight. And if they do, potentially quite a few of that group could be minor and under 20 All-Ireland champions.
Very interesting point that you raised, obviously referring to that 2022 minor clash between the two sides. So they would be quite familiar with each other.
They would be. I mean, there's been a few changes along the way as well. I was just kind of having a look through some of the articles. I've been, trying to digest as much of this during the week as you possibly can by way of build-up for the final itself. And Owen Cormacan had a very interesting piece in the Irish Examiner midweek where he said his temptation would have been to write about one corner forward, and that's Adam Screeny, who's kind of been the rock star of underage hurling for the last couple of years, the Offaly forward. But he was thinking, he's getting enough attention. Let's talk about a corner forward on the other side, who's Darren McCarthy. And it just goes to show that maybe a lot can change in a two-year cycle. And he pointed out that Darren McCarthy, back in 2022, played 6 times, but every single time he came off the bench for that minor team, he was a used sub in all 6 games. So it wasn't like he wasn't an important member of the panel, but he was never a starter. First year under 20 in 2023, came off the bench in 3 of the 4 matches that Brendan Cummins' side played. And the one game he started, he only played 44 minutes. And now, if you skip forward a year, he's been part of the Tipperary senior panel this season, has become a really important player for his school and for Tumi Vara, came off the back of a good year with Tumi Vara. He's now the under-20s top scorer, particularly Paddy McCormack's been out with injury. So you've had McCarthy taking the frees. But it speaks to the perseverance of if you keep plugging away, the opportunities will come for you. And there's many young players who didn't make a minor inter-county team and then go on to be a star at a slightly older level with 2 years of experience. Your body grows, all of that. His tallies for Nina CBS, incredible last year in the Hardy. He was averaging, he got 7 points in the first game, 1-12, 11 points, 13 points and 7 points. And his free-taking technique is the one to watch out for tonight. If you don't have a ticket, I'm sure some of your listeners do have tickets to go along, but if you don't, you're watching on TG Car at 7:15. You'll get to see this very unusual free-taking style, which is very deliberate, that Darren McCarthy takes. He can take anywhere between 10 and 20 seconds to hit a free. Generally, he hits them remarkably well, but he's got a very slow process which he works his way through, which is very different to Adam Screeny, the star player on the other side, who tends to just jab lift the ball and stick it over the bar very quickly. It's two free takers with a very different style, but neither of them have been, they've both been very effective all season. Darren McCarthy scored 138, 27 of them coming from frees, so you can see how accurate he is. And Adam Screeny has scored one goal and 50 points in Offaly's games so far. So it's easy to get drawn in by being a battle between these two incredible free takers. But it's just interesting, the two contrasts, where I think at minor level, everyone knew that Adam Screeny would be the star of the Offaly under 20 team when he graduated. He's carried on his ridiculous form from minor, but Darren McCarthy maybe wasn't the forward that we would have quite expected to be the star here. But Tipperary have got like so many good scorers across their team. Oisin O'Donoghue's got 4-11 from play. Senan Butler from that inside forward line has also got 4 goals and 6 points. Tipperary coming into this final where they're averaging over 218 a game. They've scored 992 in the championship so far. 2 games against Cork, 1 against Clare, and a group game against Limerick and Waterford. So while Brendan Cumming's team were maybe accused a little bit last year, Aoife, of being maybe a bit too defensive-minded, not getting the ball in quickly enough to the forwards, they've got a very different style with the group of players that they have this time round. And I'm just hoping that 6 days have helped with the way the pitch was looking after Bruce Springsteen last week when we saw Kilkenny and Wexford at the same venue in Leinster. Mm.
And Tip are the slight favourites heading into this final this evening. Why do you think that is?
I think understandably the performances that they've put in to get to this point. I know, obviously, look, there's a lot of talk about the phantom goal from Friday of last week, whereby Cork can feel very much aggrieved. And I'm sure when the Offaly team were doing the stats on it, they will look at the fact that Cork had a string of good scoring chances. Ben O'Connor, their manager, said afterwards 18 wides was far from good enough. And you can't focus exclusively on the fact that the goal should have been given that wasn't. But they've been really impressive with how Tipperary have done their business. I was chatting to my hurling pod co-host, James Skell, who is a selector with the Galway team. And he was saying that when he saw Tipperary earlier on in the year, it was very clear that they were in heavy training when they were meeting in challenge games, because he says they're moving an awful lot better than they were even a month, month and a half ago. So I think you have to respect Tipperary's form in getting to here. Offaly, it's been a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, quite a few of the games that they've won and the draw they got against Galway weren't without dramatics. And there was plenty of drama in the last couple of games in both the Leinster semi-final, where they had to withstand a very late comeback from Kilkenny. And then against Dublin, both the penalty that was saved and also the fact that the kids came onto the pitch and had to be ushered back off in Portlaoise. And if Dublin had got one more goal, a game that Offaly had dominated could well have gone the wrong way for them. So I think you've got to respect Tipperary's form coming into here. But if you just indulge me about the penalty saves, Liam Hoare is a remarkable story for the goalkeeper for Offaly. So He knows about the rivalry with Tipperary better than most. He lives just on the Tipperary side of the Offaly border. His club, Carrick and Riverstown, are in the parish of Burr. They've always played historically in the Offaly Championship. He says he has absolutely no connections whatsoever to Tipperary. There's 3 lads from his club who are on this Offaly under 20 hurling panel. They had a great run where they got to the Leinster Junior Club Championship, but Wally Walsh and the boys beat them in the final last season. But Carrick and Riverstown were kind of an unexpected story coming out of the Intermediate Championship in Offaly last season. But Liam Hoare only got to come back in while the season was on. And the reason why, 17 years of age, he gets a cancer diagnosis on Christmas week of 2022, having been the Offaly goalkeeper in that All-Ireland final against Tipperary that summer back in July of 22. And he went through 10 months of treatment, which was, I'm sure, absolutely horrible for anyone to have to go through, but incredibly scary when you're at such a youthful age. And it took him away from hurling. He'd already been appointed at that stage the Offaly school's captain. He went to Nolan Park in the spring of 23, and they were so keen to keep him involved that he went up to collect the cup, even though he was in his tracksuit as opposed to being togged because he couldn't play. And the Offaly 20s last year, because he graduated onto that panel from minor, wanted to keep him involved. And he still went along to every training session, even though he was having treatment. And because he couldn't play or take contact, it was just a case of he went along to puck balls back out, maybe to the goalkeepers when they were doing their puck outs, or he would do a little bit of keeping the goalkeeper sharp. Mark Troy, the current senior goalkeeper, was the 20s goalkeeper last year. And Liam was just kept involved because they didn't want to strip him away from hurling because it's so important for him. And I remember when he came back last year, I was talking to some of his teachers in St. Brendan's Community School in Birr, and they were just saying, like, he's just this remarkable young lad who never allowed his diagnosis or his treatment to catch up with him or to cause issues for him off the field. He won a Garda Award for his volunteer work earlier this season, so clearly he's got his head screwed on off the pitch as well. But on the pitch, he's made those two heroic saves. He's been so important with his distribution as well. So I just think that's a magic story of this lad who's surrounded by Tipperary people at home. And I'm sure there's plenty of back and forth and banter among all of the border towns at the moment. Liam's living in the middle of that. He's also come through a remarkable amount. And his form has been great since he got back onto the pitch late last year, both for club and for county. It'd be great to see him now lining out later on tonight in goals for Offaly as well.
Look, in terms of the fans, etc., there's no doubt that there is something a little bit magic about this All-Ireland Under-20 final in particular.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that's why there was such frustration, I guess, around the scramble for tickets that happened this week. In Tipperary, there was no particular issue in getting your hands on tickets. I think there seems to be this expectation that it might be four Offaly supporters for every one Tipperary supporter. I don't think it's going to be quite that, because I think you'd be naive to think that Tipperary supporters didn't get quite a few of the tickets when they went up on general sale on Ticketmaster earlier this week. I believe most of the 5,000 tickets were sold that were allocated to the Tipperary clubs. So again, that guarantees that there's going to be 4,000 plus there before you take the people who picked it up on general sale, before you pick up the resale of tickets, where I've no doubt there was a certain amount of overbuying because of how quickly the ticketing went down during the week. It was less than an hour to sell the 14-odd thousand tickets that were on general sale. Like, hurling is so hot right now when you consider the Munster senior hurling final, 15,000 terrace tickets went on sale on Thursday. They were gone inside 20 minutes, I believe. So, you know, when people enjoy the product and when they feel that they're going to a really exciting game, you don't have to worry about some of the low attendances we've seen in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. If people really want to go, they want to get their hands on tickets. In Offaly particularly, because Offaly have been so starved of success, they want to be there.
Will O'Callaghan, host of The Hurling Pod and OTB presenter, thanks so much for talking to me and best of luck this evening.
This is Sportsbeat Extra.
Now, I'm joined by James Murphy and Willie Carroll of the Manchester United Carlo Supporters Club, as well as the voice of Old Trafford himself, Alan Keegan, to chat about the upcoming Carlo Supporters Club's 50th anniversary event taking place on June 8th in the Talbot Hotel in Carlo. The event is sponsored by EntertainU.ie, Abbey Fiberglass and Tile and Style. I need to ask, obviously, after the weekend you've had, how are you feeling after the FA Cup victory?
Unreal.
Fantastic.
It was a long day.
Even a longer night, was it, Willie?
Very much so.
And what about you, Alan? You were over there. Where are you for it?
Yeah, well, what they normally do, Wembley and the FA, they invite the two announcers from each club, and we get like a 10-minute slot. They've obviously got the Wembley announcer, and then they gave me 10 minutes and they give City announcer 10 minutes. So we do our sort of warm-up, you know, the team read, we introduce a video, we play a song, just to get the fans going. And it was an unbelievable day, because in the morning I'd done some media interviews with other radio stations and Sky Sports, and they asked us both for our predictions. And honestly, this was my prediction. I said, listen, City are going to have a sort of bad day at the office. We're going to have to be on it, every single player. I said, but I'll tell you what I'll take. I'll take a mistake by City, I get an Archo goal, and we win 2-1.
So you hit it straight on the head then, really, didn't you, Alan?
I did. The unfortunate thing is I didn't do the lotto. It was an unbelievable day. After the game, I went for a meal with my family in London, and all I kept saying, they were laughing at me. I've been to finals over many, many years. I've seen us lose. I've seen us win. I've been in Russia when I've seen us win, and all different parts of the world. But I was so happy on Saturday night that the actual joy and the way we won it, it was just an absolute dream come true, because no one thought we were going to do it, did they?
No,
yeah, 100%.
Imagine so, yeah.
110%.
Yeah.
And James and Willie, were you both in Carlow for it, or did you head over as well to London?
Oh, no, we were all together in the barracks.
Living it up, I'd say.
Well, we were supposed to go home early, but we sort of ended up late.
The result held us out.
The atmosphere there was unbelievable.
I'd imagine so. What does it sort of mean then for sort of the future of Man United? I know that there's always the sort of commotion of like, oh, you know, it's only the FA Cup win, but like the FA Cup's a huge competition to win, and especially against the league winners Manchester City as well and rivals. You know, do you think that there's a positive outlook to this now going into the next season?
100%. They can build on it.
Yeah, definitely. They can build on it because at the end of the day, you know, obviously Ten Hag's been in for 2 years. He's got us to three finals. We've won two of them. I mean, that's an incredible record. You could say, and he said it himself, if you saw the interview that he gave with regards to Crystal Palace, you know, he knows that we have to improve in certain areas. But this is just, you know, a stepping stone. This is something we can build on. This is something that every United fan, and if you look at it, there's not a fan in the country on Saturday who wouldn't want to have been at Wembley. Every football club wants to be in that final. If you saw the amount of people with smiles on their faces before the game, enjoying the atmosphere, the weather was brilliant, and the game for United fans was just absolutely brilliant, and the manager laid the team out where none of us expected it. It's obvious to see there, boys, that, you know, Martinez, what a difference. I mean, I said to my son, to my family, if we can get an hour out of Martinez to stabilise the defence, and I thought him and Varane were just incredible.
I suppose I'll ask the next question because I know we can go on about Man United and the FA Cup win for ages, but it's a great result to be going into the 50th anniversary then of the Carlow Supporters Club for Man United. What can people kind of expect on that night in question?
Well, a great night with legends, you know, Dennis Berwin, Wes Brown and Alan Cumming himself. You know, it promises to be a great night in Carlow.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, you know, obviously I'm Irish descent. I go over every year many times to Ireland, to different parts, you know, particularly over to the west, to Sligo and Mayo and where my family are from. I'm there all the time. I spend 4 weeks when the football break comes in the summer. I just love it. I fly back from Knock Airport for the first few games. So the Carlow supporters 50th anniversary is going to be an amazing night. You know, you've got two fantastic legends. I mean, Dennis Irwin, not only a United legend, but an Ireland legend. He's a fantastic speaker. He's got some brilliant stories. He you know, talks about his time at United. And I think, you know, we've got to remember he's the second most decorated player. You know, he's the most decorated Irish player ever to play for United. So Dennis is just absolutely top draw. And then Wes Brown is so approachable. Again, you know, he's that next generation. He's one of those that, you know, if you look at his CV, it's quite surprising because he's got two Champions Leagues. You know, we forget that Fergie brought him in for 99. In 2008, we all remember it. He supplied the cross to Ronaldo to head it in. Wes is a great lad. You know, five Premier Leagues. He's just a great, great guy and loads of stories. So the Carlow supporters, anybody who comes that night, they've got fantastic stories between them, and they'll embrace Carlow that night. For one night only, they will both be Carlow men.
And we're hoping to keep him Carlow men forever after that, including yourself, Alan.
Willie, I've been speaking that much to you. I feel I'm a Carlow man already.
I have to ask as well, just out of the last 50 years of the club, or of the supporters club, I'm not sure how long both of you have been in it, but do you have a particular memory that sticks out as kind of extremely sort of like the favourite moment you have from those last 50?
Whoa, 1999.
But also, we've been at some incredible games, incredible trips. Like, I was very close to Wayne Rooney's overhead kick. I was there for the last game that Eric Cantona played for as well, you know, in 1980. So, like, there's a lot of good memories. But, of course, winning the treble is just out on its own.
Well, there's going to be plenty on offer anyways, and I would encourage anyone, if they're a Manchester United supporter, or even an Ireland supporter, I suppose, as well, to absolutely make sure they can try and get a ticket for that event. Where can people go if they want to kind of snag a ticket before they all go out?
They're available on Eventbrite, or contact any of us through Instagram, Facebook. And we'll get them sorted. But they are up on Eventbrite.
Any money, extra money we'll raise, we're actually giving it to Irish Cancer and the Irish Guide Dogs.
Just to remind everybody as well, it is the 8th of June, so it's just around the corner. Just remind everybody of the hotel, guys.
Talbot Hotel.
Wes Brown, Dennis Irwin, United and Ireland legend, and the voice of Old Trafford, Alan Keegan. He's a legend.
Well, he's the man.
James, Alan, Willie, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, right. Thanks,
awesome.
Sports Beat Extra.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back on our website, beat102103.com/podcasts. Coming up next, Megan has the soundtrack to your Saturday night, Beat Anthems.